Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for All Saints Day is God's Word in the first reading from Revelation, from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. We read again verse 17. You're invited to read along if you'd like. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Handkerchiefs. Martha had a thing about handkerchiefs. Martha grew up in the prairie out west almost 100 years ago. She was a farm girl. And I don't know if she learned it from her dad or her mom, but she was always ready with a hanky. And as a self-sufficient farm woman, she could sew. And so she sewed handkerchiefs for her kids, for her husband. But she made her kids carry them to school and to church. You could always see one pulling one out when they needed it. They're always prepared with a handkerchief. And when someone in her church passed away, Martha would sew a new handkerchief. And she would include it with a card or a dish that she had cooked for the family. She would give it to the family. Now, her family said that she did this because of the promise contained in our verse today. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This morning, as we celebrate All Saints Day, St. John places into our hands this verse. This verse is part of a picture that he paints with words of comfort and words of encouragement. It's a picture that provides an interlude, if you will, in a world of tears. And this morning I would like to consider with you those tears and those moments of grace amongst the tears, so that we might celebrate more fully God's revelation to us today. Now, St. John begins our text by telling us, after this, I looked. That's a signal to you that John is in the middle of describing a scene of the throne of God in heaven. Now, how do you describe the indescribable? Well, John paints this picture with words that are heavily laden with symbolism. And he describes the scene in almost a spiral way. It's almost as if you're caught up in a whirlwind, and each time you come around, you see it from the same perspective. There it is. There it is again. John shows the spiral, I guess you could say, as he describes his vision in a series upon series of sevens. Seven churches, seven angels, seven trumpets, seven bowls, seven seals on a scroll that only the Lamb of God can open. Well, here in chapter 7, in the midst of describing the throne of God in his heavenly kingdom, after the Lamb of God has opened the sixth seal, and before he opens the seventh seal, John pauses the whirlwind for a moment. It's almost like a freeze frame where you can see just a moment in time and what's going on. And that pause, that freeze frame, that's our text for today. Now, as you and I go about the whirlwind in our lives, I invite you to pause for a second and consider what is actually going on in heaven. Today, we're privileged to stop and just peek into heaven for a minute. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, today, you get a glimpse of that. A snapshot of what the souls of believers who have gone before us are experiencing. What is it? What are they doing? Yes, they're singing. They're singing things like we sang earlier. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They're singing songs of thanksgiving for their salvation, for the salvation of the world. Salvation won by the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ our Lord. And they're dressed in whiteness too. Baptismal whiteness, purity and holiness and righteousness delivered to them at their baptism. That's what Jesus does for you too. And when they finish a verse, just like we did when we were singing earlier, someone else chimes in. Did you catch it in the reading today? Choir of angels singing the same thing that we sang earlier. Amen! Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen! That's their verse. That's just a snapshot. Now, certain moments in our lives cause us to pause from the whirlwind of our lives. And many of those moments carry with them tears. Some moments of tears are exceedingly joyful. Perhaps your wedding day. Perhaps the day when you held a newborn baby, your son or your daughter, your grandson or your granddaughter in your arms. Maybe you shed a tear at that point. That tear of joy is because all seems right with the world. That's the way things are supposed to be. Only they're so fleeting and so fast. Maybe that's the reason for the tear. You see, it seems that our tears come at the intersection of truth in our lives. At a moment of truth where your mind knows what's going on. And your soul understands the meaning of what's going on. That part of you, inside you, that feels what actual truth is. That part of you that's inside of you that actually yearns for meaning in this life. Real meaning. Eternal truth. That's what your soul is yearning for. And at that moment where your mind comprehends what's going on, and your soul comprehends the meaning of what's going on, your body, your physical body, issues forth tears. And they're not all tears of joy. In fact, most of the tears that we see, most of the tears we think about when we read this verse are not tears of joy. They're the other kind of tears. Tears that come with pain and loss. And many tears that come with the loss of a loved one. At that time, our mind does know what has happened. And why? Because we, as sinners, know that the wages of sin is death. That death comes to our loved ones. And that death comes to us, too, eventually. And our soul feels the meaning of that truth. Our loved one's soul is lost to us, at least for a time. cost to us in this world. That's where the pain comes from. And our body reacts in tears, expressing the only truth that the mind knows and the spirit comprehends. Our tears say, it's not supposed to be this way. Those are the moments for handkerchiefs. Because you're going to cry. Those are the moments for the mutual consolation of the saints. Those are the moments where a loved one, maybe your mom or your dad, your brother or your sister, maybe a little child, will wipe away the tear from your eye in a moment of intimacy and love for you. That's the kind of love that your Heavenly Father has for you. That's what He promises for you. It's an intimate action of grace and love. Now for Christians, that tender act of love comes with words of promise and encouragement. In his Gospel, John tells us of another Martha and another time of tears when her brother, Lazarus, died. And when Jesus got there, He first consoled Martha, because Jesus knows what it is to lose a loved one. And there in the Gospel of John comes the shortest verse in the Gospel, and the shortest book in the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He knew what it was to lose a loved one. He's been there too in grief. He was there with Martha. He's been there, and He is there with everyone who's lost a loved one, including you and me. But Jesus wipes our tears away with something greater than just a handkerchief. He wipes away more than our tears. You see, He wipes away, in His death and resurrection, sin itself, the reason for our death, the reason for our pain and our loss. And in His resurrection, He wipes away even death itself. Even death itself. Because death is not the way it's supposed to be. That's not how things were created to be. We heard in today's gospel reading the way things are supposed to be, the way things will be, as Jesus promises. He promises that those who are blessed, the blessed ones, will know how it's supposed to be. And He knows that this applies to you. You're His child, adopted by Him in the waters of holy baptism, so that you know it applies to you. His promise of forgiveness and resurrection and eternal life. And that hope and that promise is a sure thing. You know it because of Jesus' resurrection. And you know it because it's going on right now in heaven for those who have gone before us. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and become as pure as snow. They do not face the scorching heat of the sun. They do not face the gales of the wind. They neither hunger nor thirst anymore. And God has wiped away their tears. I began by telling you about the handkerchief that Martha gave to people at funerals, consoling families at funerals. But I didn't tell you what happened at Martha's funeral. At Martha's funeral, all the families that had received handkerchiefs brought them back to give to her family at her funeral. They gave them back to Martha's family in grateful thanks for the love and grace that she had shown. That's how the mutual consolation of the saints works. And in this small way, they reflected Christ's love, just as Christ revealed God's love to you on the cross, in his resurrection, and in your baptism. And here today, in this place, where the Word of God is proclaimed, and where his sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion are present, that's what he delivers here to you today, to share his promise with the world lost in tears. Now someday, you and I will be taken from this world of tears to a kingdom where there's no need of handkerchiefs, because there are no tears. You will join in that choir, even better than the choir that we have today. You will hear those angels singing, stanza by stanza, with you. And you will find yourself in the arms of the Good Shepherd, the very Lamb of God himself, who will wipe away all your tears and give you life now and forever. Amen.